Welcome to the weekly podcast, Stand Strong. I'm Paul White.
And I'm Noah Dieselkamp. Together, we look to God's Word to find energy and encouragement to fuel our faith.
When our trust in Jesus is firm, we'll be amazed what God can do and accomplish in our lives. So let's turn to the wisdom in God's Word, a true and trusted source that is going to help us stand strong. Let's dig in. Well, hello, hello again to everyone that's listening to us. Noah, you're with me in the studio again in season four, our podcast, 21st Century Discipleship. I'm just going to say, I don't know about you, man, we've tackled some tough stuff lately.
Yeah, I would agree.
We did it because we wanted to. Actually, we got input. There's some of this is influenced by you as our listeners in terms of questions you've been asking or just things that you wanted to hear more about. And we recognize there's disagreement as we go through season four. But again, we want to talk about still the idea of 21st century discipleship. Noah, you mentioned stuff about evangelism. That is a big subject, a word. So let's break it down. Kind of help us. Where are we going today in this podcast on evangelism?
Yeah, absolutely. So evangelism, part of the reason we wanted to bring this in to this discussion of 21st century discipleship is we see in the New Testament, we see this idea, right? We see Jesus give what we call the Great Commission, and often we'll turn to Matthew chapter 28 to talk about that. We see the establishing of the early church. We see all of these sermons being preached, these literal thousands of people, you know, being baptized into Christ, coming to the truth and submitting to Jesus. We see those examples, and I think that kind of leaves with us the question of, okay, so where do we fit in? I mean, we see a lot of that in first century disciples. Mm-hmm. So as 21st century disciples, where do we fit in with this idea of evangelism? And again, we often turn to Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I don't know about you, but I've received the question on a number of occasions. Okay, was the Great Commission, is that for you and me? Right? Here's the Great Commission, is that for you and me? And I think that's where we sometimes start when we're trying to talk about evangelism. And I'm not sure it's the right place to start. And here's why. That question is a yes and a no in response, in the sense that those words were not spoken to us, nor do I think that in the true meaning of what Jesus was saying there, that they were directed to his disciples throughout all time. He has a very specific idea that he's trying to get across to his apostles there.
Right.
But there is the practical answer of, well, yes, because disciples make disciples.
Yes, that's say that again.
Disciples make disciples.
Yes.
And so while I wouldn't argue that the Great Commission is directed directly at you and me and the people that are listening to this podcast today, I think that we can't allow that to try to excuse us from making disciples. But what we might want to do is reevaluate what it looks like to make disciples.
Yeah, that's the point we wanted to go today. What it looks like. You know, you argue the question about the Matthew 20, go and make disciples. What I would say about that is he says, go and make disciples, not churchgoers. There's a big difference. But Luke's narratives, Book of Acts is a great, great place, not just because of powerful examples of true conversions, people mm-hmm. coming to Christ and being saved of their sins. But Luke gives us historically what's going on, especially, you know, when you have the church at Jerusalem in its infancy and you had persecution against that church. And Luke tells us in chapter 8 that when you had these disciples being scattered because of that persecution, Acts 8 and verse 4, when they were preaching the word. And that's all he says. Now, so yes, people cannot come to faith in Christ apart from hearing.
Right.
Which means somebody's got to do the preaching. But all Luke says is these disciples, when they were preaching, what that looks like, what all is that involved, how did they all participate on some level? And I would offer this. If you go all the way back to chapter 2, what made these disciples fundamentally strong enough the foundation secure enough to do what they were doing when persecution was breaking out, to just go forth and continue to be disciples, sharing what they truly believed in, that the gospel, is they were devoting themselves to things that make for strong disciples.
Yeah.
And Acts 2:42 illustrates that. And that has to do with what the apostles were teaching. There's the truth that has to be shared, but this idea of prayer and fellowship. And sometimes the prayer and fellowship gets left out of the discipling process. Mm-hmm. Yes, sharing the truth, sharing the gospel, absolutely fundamental. You can't come to faith apart from it. But, you know, prayer and fellowship. At the core of fellowship has to do with a participation in something.
Mm-hmm.
But if we also see in fellowship, relationship. Relationship involves people.
Yeah.
So what makes this important, and we're talking about connecting with people,
right,
so that we can share the greatest story ever told, Jesus saves, with people.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much in there that you said that I want to just kind of hit to re-encapsulate, because I need to highlight. So first of all, you use the term discipling, which, you know, is not one that we, I say we, me and the people that I'm generally around, we don't necessarily always use that term, but I think that's really helpful because it reminds us we're trying to make disciples. It's not just about spreading information, although that's important, but we're trying to accomplish something with the spread of that information. We're trying to make disciples. Second thing that you said, there's relationships involved in this. That's extremely important. And then third to highlight is that, and we kind of already said this, making disciples is more than just giving them the information, right? You talked about the other things that we can see in Acts chapter 2 there that go in with those ideas, not just being devoted to the teaching of the apostles, but we're also being devoted to other things as well. And in a previous conversation, I remember saying to you, we can't make disciples without them receiving information through teaching. But there is way more to making disciples than just that. So keeping that in mind, sometimes that helps us cut through some of the questions that we have that I think lead us down the wrong path. Not that it's a bad path, it's not the most productive path. Because we end up asking questions like, okay, so if I'm going to evangelize, what does that mean to be part of evangelism? Does that mean I need to go on mission trips? Does that mean I need to go door knocking? Does that mean I need to become a teacher or a preacher? Does that mean I have to be involved in these apologetics discussions about, you know, the veracity of the Bible and the historicity of the resurrection and all those kinds of things? Well, I mean, my answer would be kind of like with Matthew chapter 28. Yes, that can be a part of evangelism, but that's not the only way in which to evangelize. And I think it's important for us to do that, because to acknowledge that, because otherwise we start to have a very narrow view of what it means to disciple other people.
Right. Yeah. You know, practically, that's what people are interested in. Practically, what can we all do? And again, there's not a one size fit all. But what are practically some things all of us could pay attention to that would be influential and effective in helping bringing others to Christ or putting someone else in the best possible place and position to ask the questions or to say, I want to hear more.
Yeah.
You know, you used to hear a guy say, you know, just extending invitations, the come and see language in the New Testament, come and see.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the come and see idea and approach is not, hey, come and check our church out. Hey, come and check out this guy who's our preacher. No, what we're trying to do is, yes, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, use wisdom in the approach, but we're wanting to connect people to the one who can save them, to the message that has the power to bring someone to salvation. And we know that's the gospel. We know that's Jesus.
Right.
So the come and see is we want them to come. So invite people to the services on Sunday. But let me offer this. My invitation, I would suggest, my invitation to come and see is only as strong as my character or influence over that person.
Yeah.
Let me illustrate what I mean. And this, somebody says, okay, I would expect this from a preacher in a podcast, but it could happen. So if I'm sitting at a party on a Saturday night, getting drunk with the person next to me, and I'm inviting them to come Sunday, they may come, but I would suggest, look, seriously, there's a better approach to this. So am I living a godly life? That's where we, why we talk about the Matthew 5, salt and light, living blameless, Philippians chapter 2. I mean, how am I living?
Right. Yeah, that salt and that light imagery is so powerful, because evangelism isn't just talking about Jesus. It's living like Jesus. And so when we do that, we become the salt. We become the light. We're the city set on a hill. And that's what Jesus wants us to be. You know, and one of the main ways in which we can shine a light or be salt in the earth is through service. Mm-hmm. And that is... that's not glamorous. I mean, just inherently by nature, service is not a glamorous thing. And I think sometimes we get this idea in our heads that to evangelize, we're gonna have that person that we meet on the street, and we have a conversation about Jesus, and we get them to come to Bible studies, and we walk through the teaching of the New Testament with them, and look, now here's this brand new Christian that I, you know, we wouldn't put it this way, but I single-handedly, you know, brought this person to Christ. That happens. I'm not denying that happens, but most effective evangelism takes place in the context of, one, a relationship, and two, a relationship where the Christian demonstrates what it means to live a life of service. And that's not always easy. I mean, so I was talking to you and some other guys just a little while back about how different times of the year, you know, can be more challenging than others. There's these seasons. I love the change of seasons, by the way. So as the weather gets cooler, I'm a happy guy. But we recently had daylight savings time, which before kids, I loved daylight savings time. I thought it was great. And now I have kids that wake up at 5:30 in the morning after daylight savings time happens, which I know that, you know, other parents can relate to that. When I've had a day that started that early, and I've been working, and my wife has been trying to take care of the kids, and we have some rushed meals together, and I'm going from Bible study to recording a podcast to doing other things. The last thing I feel like doing when I leave the office is going and serving somebody. Mm-hmm. But that is evangelism. Is serving the people around us, even when it's not convenient.
This discipleship is discipleship. Look, you and I, we're the preachers, so we're the face and we're the voice most often in the pulpit here. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest this is not just a possibility. This is something that's real. There's someone that's brought to Christ. They're convicted by the powerful gospel that I preach on Sunday at 10:45 or 11. Now, that's not me making it about me. The power is in the gospel. I'm sharing it, but I'm the face and the voice in the pulpit that day. And they walk down the aisle, and everybody's moved and rejoicing, and I'm in the baptistry, and I'm baptizing them, and they receive the promise of the forgiveness of their sins, the hope of everlasting life. Jesus saves, and everybody's rejoicing in that. That happens that day, yes, because of the power of the gospel, and yes, because of the honesty in that person's heart that says, I believe. But let me tell you something else that's involved in that hardly ever gets talked about or noticed. And it's somebody that invited them to come, and it may be that invitation was acted upon because the person that invited them to come was the person that was 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago helping them unload their U-Haul, or brought them a cake or a casserole, or did a good deed. Now back to the Matthew 5, that they may see your good works and glorify. They saw service. They saw Christ. They mm-hmm. saw benevolence and generosity and an act of kindness. And that makes a difference in this world. That's something everybody can do. Not everybody could have got up in that pulpit and preached that day.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone's able to get out and serve others in some way, set an example in some way. And even there's going to be a difference in what we're capable of doing. I mean, I love the picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And where Paul ends up going with that is, since we're all part of one body, we should be united. We should show love for one another. those important things. But before he even gets to that, he talks about how each part has its own value. You know, the whole body is not an eye. If right. the whole body were a foot, where would the seeing be? You know, that kind of an idea. That is so applicable when it comes to evangelism. And I think so often we get, again, this narrow idea of what it means to disciple somebody, and we fail to see what we bring to the body. And what I love about the picture that you brought up about, you know, this person that's converted, and yes, that's because of teaching and because of their honest heart and their faith in God, but there's this person off to the side who invited them, who set an example for them, who served them. What I love about that picture is you think about so many of the obstacles that we run into when we try to evangelize, right? All the roadblocks that get thrown up in front of us. You know, somebody might say, oh, well, Christians are hypocrites, or, well, I've already got my faith, you know, my religion, or I'm an atheist, or science says this, and I just can't believe the Bible, or they disagree with specific Christian beliefs. You don't agree with homosexuality. I don't know if I can get on board with that. You know, all of these roadblocks that we run into when we try to preach the gospel. You know, one of the most effective things for breaking down those roadblocks? Service.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the face of selfless service, those arguments hold no water.
None whatsoever. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. You know, we talked about service and how we live that influences and impacts the effectiveness in discipling others and trying to share the gospel. I've been teaching on prayer. We're focusing on prayer. And again, you know, they were devoting themselves in Acts 2 to prayer. And by the time you get to Acts 8 and the persecution is intensifying and they're being scattered, well, you know, they're preaching the word. I got to believe they're praying too.
Yeah. Yep.
If we connect prayer in this concept of evangelism and a discipling of others, you know, the Romans 10, and I know that Romans 10 and verse 1 is not there to necessarily help us with the evangelism kind of this podcast, but there's principles, there's language there just for thought. In Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, whatever is your heart's desire will naturally be a part of your praying.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says his heart's desire was the salvation of his countrymen, the other Jews. You know, and we know how strongly he felt about that. And so again, in my praying, you know, is it just a natural part of my praying as much as thank you for this food or God protect my children or give me wisdom as a parent or to remove this thorn or this suffering or this infirmity from this person, but your will be done. But is much a part of my praying, God, use me in ways to share Christ, to share the gospel, to walk in wisdom towards outsiders. I just want to be a tool in your hand so that others more can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And look, God's going to answer that prayer.
Yeah.
But I would offer this. I've said this to people in the evangelism, something we can all do. Don't blow it for the next guy. So if I've got Noah Dieselkamp here at Cedar Park, and I know Noah Dieselkamp has been working with someone for a long, long time, whether it's having Bible studies, whether it's been acts of service, Noah Dieselkamp has just intentionally been praying about and taking opportunities, seizing opportunities to try to share Christ and show others Christ through him. And finally, you know, this person that you've been inviting to come, they've finally come. And Noah Dieselkamp is sitting back in a classroom, and the person sitting next to him is somebody I've never seen before. And I think, well, I know Noah. Noah's probably been working with, oh, don't blow it for Noah by making such an arrogant, unwise comment in a Bible class that can absolutely turn someone off.
Mm.
And I just offer that for people to think about. I am not suggesting that we apologize for truth. All I'm suggesting is very biblical language in Colossians walk in wisdom toward outsiders.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say, a comment that you make. Remember, it's not about you and a time to get your point across. Who potentially is out there listening that could be negatively influenced or impacted by what you say?
Mm. That's a good reminder to think about who we're impacting when we speak. I know we're running quick up on our time here, but I can already hear some comments and some input on the on our feedback link saying, hey, you did an episode on evangelism and you basically didn't talk at all about getting involved in a conversation about Jesus and talking about Jesus. You mostly just kind of hung around on the light and salt aspect of it. And I want to say we're not trying to downplay the importance of talking about Jesus and sharing the truth of the gospel. I think we put a lot of emphasis on that in evangelism normally, and perhaps in this episode we've decided to put the focus a little bit more elsewhere. But I do want to say for those who are saying, "Hey, I'm really you know pulling at the leash here. I want practical ideas of what it means to talk to people about Jesus, and I have trouble talking to people about Jesus." I want you to remember, this is my encouragement. When you go to talk to people about Jesus, the gospel never fails. The gospel never fails. Now, we sometimes fail the gospel because we don't live up to the gospel, and therefore it's brought into reproach because we've attached our name to it, and then we don't live up to the standard of Christ. But the gospel does not fail. And if we're willing to humbly talk about Jesus from a standpoint of loving our neighbor, loving our enemy, loving our brother, if we're willing to humbly talk about Jesus and say, here's my Savior, here's what he's done. And when people ask questions, be willing to say, you know, I don't know, you know, that kind of a thing. If we're willing to approach it from that perspective, then we can get out of the way of the gospel. I say all of that because I think we could almost break evangelism into two episodes. And I think that would be wise because we've talked a good amount this episode about the side of what our lives reflect about the gospel, but then we can carry that into what it looks like to talk about the gospel and to talk about Jesus. That will be the plan for next episode. Is we're going to pick this conversation back up and we're going to talk about evangelism. I guess you could say evangelism part two. Paul, is there anything else you want to leave them with as we close out today?
No, I would just offer what you said. There's nothing more important that we can do in this life than save ourselves and help save others. And that is not possible through our own strength, our own wisdom. That's only possible through the Lord working through us. And so never forget the power in the Word. Never forget the power in the Spirit. Never forget the power in prayer. Why? All of those are connected to deity. So all we want to do is again, as I mentioned, be a vessel, a tool in the hands of our God to do his work. He works through us. We are the only Bible. The careless world will read. We are. So he works through us. Mm-hmm. So Lord, do your work in us. And that's 21st century discipleship. It's making disciples of all the nations, not just Texas, not just the United States. It's all the nations. So God, use me where I am to do what I can. I want to save myself, my family, and as many others as I can. What does that look like for me? So the part two in this, I think that's good, Lord willing, for next week.
All right. Well, we will see you all back next week for our follow-up on the discussion of evangelism. Until then, know that we love you and God loves you, and we pray that you stand strong in him. Thanks for joining us in God's Word today. We hope you'll continue to join us each week as we consider how to deepen our faith in God.
Here's some good news today and even this week. With God as our foundation, we know that we can stand strong.